please welcome up here Ildi Ingraham.
I am a Hungarian immigrant, and I hesitated to want to tell this story because I don't want to be seen as the woman with the sad story. But I also feel like it's important that we tell these stories because we're so protected here in America. We're so sheltered from the rest of the world that is suffering deeply. And it's important for people to know what it's like to go through an adventure like that. So anyway, what happened was during World War II, the Germans occupied Hungary, and then the Russian soldiers came in and they pushed the Germans out, but then the Russians stayed there and then they were the occupants. This went on for a few years. Meanwhile, I was born in 1954. And in 1956, the youth had a revolution against the Russians. They attacked them and the Russians left. And everybody went, yay, we're free again. But they came back with a vengeance. Lots of tanks, a lot of people died. And when the revolution was really over and it was apparent that the Hungarians had lost, 200,000 Hungarians left the country, including my family. So nobody told me what was happening. I was only 2 years old. I had just turned two, 4 days before we left. So we took a train to my grandmother's house, who lived close to the Austrian border. And then my great uncle took us in his horse-drawn wagon to the place where the refugees were gathering to meet and head out. So there was a group of people and a guide, and my family was with them. My father, my mother, they had given me a sleeping pill, and my father was carrying me. My mother had my sister by the hand. She was 5. And then my brothers were 9 and 8. So we walked for 9 miles, and right as we got close to the Austrian border, it started sleeting. And I'm guessing that it was the pins and needles I felt on my arm. My mother said that my coat sleeve had slid up. That woke me up. But this happened right as we got to the border. And my mother told me that you could see the tanks right there guarding the border. And I just started wailing, and everybody freaked out. My sister said that she remembers there were 2 young men who had a gun, and they wanted to hit the baby over the head with the butt of the gun so she would pass out and stop crying. Well, the group leader intervened, and he said, all right, here's what's going to happen. You people with the baby are going to stay behind. The rest of us are going to go. And when she stops crying, you can come and get across the border. You'll see a church steeple with a light in it. That's where you want to head, and you'll be safe there. So my mother panicked, and I don't know why. I never asked her why, but she sent my brothers along with this group of strangers. So now the family was divided. So eventually I did stop crying, and we continued, got across the border. Soon as we were in safe zone in Austria, my mother collapsed on some railroad tracks and just started hysterically sobbing. And my dad could not get her to get up and keep going. So he continued and found the church, deposited my sister and me. My brothers were there. And then he went back to get my mother. So we were there for, I'm not sure how long, but we did get an airplane that took us to Iceland, and then from Iceland to New Jersey. And as it turned out, this airplane was on its final journey. It was in such poor shape that the propellers kept icing up. And so the pilot had to lower the plane to clear the ice, and then he'd go back up, and he'd come down, and everybody was throwing up but me. It must have been horrific. But anyway, we did make it to New Jersey, and they took us all to an army camp and put us all in the barracks. And one story my mother told me was that it was Thanksgiving, and as we were going through the cafeteria line to get our meal, the guy serving put a turkey drumstick on my plate, and I started crying because I knew I couldn't possibly eat that. And so he was like, "Oh, the baby's crying," and gave me another one. So anyway, we stayed there through Christmas. My father found a broomstick and somehow drilled holes in it and stuck branches in it that he found outside, and they made little balls out of tin foil and put them on the tree so that we'd have a Christmas tree. So eventually what was happening there is they would keep people in this camp until they found a sponsor for them. And sure enough, this nice man who was half Hungarian from Pennsylvania had his church sponsor us. And we moved to Allentown, Pennsylvania from the barracks, and we had a home. And this home that was fully furnished, and there were clothes and dishes and pots and pans and toys and little children's books. And this was my earliest memory of my life, is being in that house. And I remember that the flowers in the backyard the next spring were up by my face. So, you know, I was small. and I really liked it there. But my father had gotten a job in New Jersey, and he was commuting and just coming home on weekends. And then when he'd be there, my parents would fight bitterly. And there was just so much stress. So we did eventually end up moving to New Jersey, which was great. There were lots of Hungarian people there for us to relate to. But it was hot and humid, and my dad would break out in hives. And so we moved up to Maine after 4 years in New Jersey. And Maine was a saving grace. My dad bought a house that was right on the edge of a forest, and there was a river running through it. And it was beautiful and peaceful, and we fell asleep to the sound of the water. And oftentimes we'd go to the ocean, and in the wintertime we would go to museums and concerts, and it was just a lovely life. And so we all just calmed down. And as time went by, we all healed each in our own way. I did a lot of self-help seminars and read books and did therapy. And as time has gone by, I feel like I've done a lot of healing, which I'm very grateful for. Because when I was very little, I'm pretty sure I had post-traumatic stress disorder. I had nightmares every night for a long time. I would dream about the bad man coming to get me. Sometimes it was the devil. Sometimes it was a monster. Sometimes it was a man in a fedora and a trench coat. And it was terrifying for a little kid to be dreaming that every night. Sometimes I would have these panic attacks. And it was like this fog would come over and envelop me, and I would start screaming, "Yenikos onosok!" which means the Russians are coming. And I would just have to hide under the bed, in the closet, in the fireplace, behind a rocking chair, wherever I could. So I'd stay there until I felt safe. My brothers and my sister had to start school not knowing any English at all. And they were made fun of because their clothes were different. I asked my mother one time, I said, "So did you and Dad know any English when we came here?" And my mom said, "Yeah, we knew ham and eggs." And I was like, "What? Ham and eggs. That's all they knew." So you can imagine how, you know, difficult this was for all of us. But as I said, things finally did calm down. And we're all grateful that we had a life here, that my parents were brave enough to leave. And here we are, and we're safe. And I'm thankful for that. And my heart really breaks for these people in these countries that are far away from us, who are going through even worse circumstances, just so that they and their families can feel safe. Thank you.